have a drum routine I'm trying to practice. Yeah, give me a sec.
Speaking of drum routines.
Oh, no.
Something it's about sports. College football. Yeah, it feels like college
insert
football.
Insert Ohio State drum march here. I told Tyler this before the show started that I was trying to come up with all these ideas of like funny ways I could introduce the episode. And because one, we were in Columbus over the weekend, and two, it was also the first week of college football. So it's like, how do I introduce that somehow? And all of my ideas involved copyrighted music in some form or another. And I was just like, fuck. And then Buttfart69 did the best thing possible, which was give me a prompt. You know.
That's great. I'm really glad.
Calling that a prompt is a little loose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found myself in the curious position when they said that, like, everything was copyrighted. I was like, wow, maybe this is the first and only time I will ever be like, wow, thank God for the strict copyright laws preventing YouTube creators from doing anything.
Comment last week of I just really hate it when you guys talk about sports ball. And it's just like, listen, first of all, if you call it sports ball, fuck off, you sound like an idiot. It's actually the most obnoxious thing in the world. It's the same thing as when people make fun of your, like, oh, are you playing a card game? If you watch this podcast and you know anything about me, even slightly, you should know that leaving comments like that only make me want to talk about sports more.
So stop fucking doing it so I can hear
conclusion. This is now a sports podcast.
Yes.
Slowly over time, this is going to become a sports podcast.
I also have hit the baseball into the field goal. For 7 points? Maybe.
Stop it. that's cold open. We've got a cool cold open.
Good. Tyler, I like that this new cold open is like, let's chastise a listener just once an episode, and that's great. Yeah. And I love that.
It's great. Yeah. It was Max.
So if you want to, there's a new Patreon tier. If you want to just be like the little,
you want to get rizzed.
Yeah. If you want to just have Callan and I just take a fucking dump on your being, leave a comment. It's probably something innocuous that vaguely prompts Callahan to ask about anything, and you're just going
to
get a full.
Yeah, it really doesn't have to be much. It could be anything.
Just a big social dump right on your face.
Yeah, it's fine. So Tyler, this is the first episode that you have been on since Ian has become the official co-host. Yeah, I believe.
Whoa. Yay.
Well, if I had known that, I wouldn't have come.
Fair enough. We'll take that into consideration.
So we've come into this new era of the Mind Sculptors podcast, and that's where, in this new era, we have to figure out what we're going to do to introduce the show. We've done all sorts of different things. We flashed in the intro in the middle of people's points. We have done just no intro.
We did Shock Jock. Lewis' suggestion was to talk about how queer we were, which we did. That one was fun. Yeah, and I feel like we've done a couple, variants so far for sure.
Yeah. What is your addition to this rich tapestry of Mind Sculptors intros? Mm-hmm.
I think we should all make mouse noises at the same time.
That's really interesting. Now, I'm noticing a theme because you were recently on the Howling Salt Mine podcast where I heard you leave Tony make a bunch of whale noises. So is this like a thematic thing for you now?
I like animals. King. What's wrong with that?
Okay.
You're gonna look down on that. You're gonna figure out some like sports ball equivalent to just like talk down to people who like animals. Like I'm sure there is one.
It's like the Miami Dolphins, which is also an animal. See, I did it. I did it.
Another sports segue.
I'm not the one who did it. It wasn't me.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's. I think, Cal, why don't you start off with the mice noise?
What? Well, hi, everybody.
Okay, that was pretty good.
Welcome to the Mind Sculptors. I'm Callahan.
Now, I was also going to do a cartoon mouse, but definitely, or I guess rat. I was going to be like, hey, you got to stir the pasta in reference to Ratatouille, which is good joke, but it made me laugh.
Aw. Now I wish I could remember any of the lines from that Courage the Cowardly Dog episode where there's a rat that helps out the mean guy who shoots ball of sadness into people, turns them gray.
Holy crap. What a fucking...
about how much of a trip that show was?
Let me tell you, I watched that episode on mushrooms. Not a good idea. Do not watch Balls of Sadness episode on mushrooms.
You know what? I'm willing, to just bet and just say this as a blanket statement. To probably just not watch Courage the Cowardly Dog on mushrooms.
Any drugs.
I think that's just a blanket statement, probably a safe bet.
Yeah.
100%.
Like for me, watching Spy Kids High was already a lot. So like, I don't know about Courage on any sort of drugs. Like,
now a good movie to watch.
For some people is a lot.
A good movie to watch while high is Encanto. Huh. It's a very good one. It's very, like, visually stimulating.
Mm. And I don't know what this says about me as a person, because I guess this is how we're starting this episode. But I went and saw Doctor Strange for the first time, right? And I was like, oh, this movie's so great. Visuals are beautiful. All of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, a year and a half later, I was like, I'm going to go with some of my friends. We're going to sit in our apartment. We're going to get high. We're going to watch Doctor Strange. And I'm, like, ready from a mind
as you do.
Blown, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my God, all these visuals. There's the kaleidoscope effects. And I don't know if it's me, like I'm just a narc of a person, but I remember watching it being like, man, I liked this movie a lot more the first time. And that was when I got the second watch. It was not
there's
like
a lot of plot holes in this one.
I was like, why did I turn into a big old narc when I got high? I thought I would have been like, whoa, magic. But I was like, oh, come on, really? Those effects? Like
those effects. That was clearly rushed. Amazing, amazing. Well, Tyler, welcome to the show. It's almost like it's been a while since I've seen you. It's been a whole 2 days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I've seen that you. Sounds about right.
This is our Airbnb crew.
Yeah, this was so as you would know from the title of this episode, we all went and played at SCG Con's CEDH 5K event in Columbus, Ohio. Had to get it in there. Go Bucks. So we all played there. Ian top 16'd. I got my first top 16 and top 4, which was super exciting.
And I'm a piece of shit.
And yeah.
But how'd you do in the tournament?
We knew you were a piece of shit about. Already.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. No, I went 1-3 drop. Was not great.
Yeah.
But I had a really fun time.
Yeah.
Tyler, you could easily tell people you're just wounded satellite. They wouldn't know the difference.
Listen.
I know wounded satellite is watching this.
And wounded satellite is 5'7¾". He was very sure to tell us that. There's a huge difference.
It's true. He did make a whole point about that.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet Wounded Satellite for the first time over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Great people. But over the weekend we played in that. So we thought we'd talk about it a little bit. And so obviously, Tyler, you were playing, playing Rog'Side, right?
Yeah, no, Tyler Shirt indicates he was obviously playing
Hot. It was Mardu Summer.
It's just kidding. Right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you were playing Dahada. What were your thoughts on Dahada?
I just really love its ability to ramp and slam huge creatures. That's the, mm-hmm. that's
oh,
the
yeah,
main
yeah.
feature
really
of that
good.
Deck.
Yeah. So for those who can't read sarcasm, because I know you're in our audience. Tyler actually played Kinnan. And so what was kind of, you know, obviously Kinnan's your deck. It is the thing that you play the most. What was your kind of feel about taking it into Columbus, like going into the event?
I was pretty nervous about it because I had just made a bunch of changes the previous weekend, and I didn't feel like I had really finished testing those and then made more changes, which is not what you do. I just doubled down on that and said, I don't have enough time to test this. Maybe it'll be fine anyway. And I don't think that was necessarily wise. So I'm a little off the list that I've been on for a long time. And that was partly because I feel like lately I've felt like I would do better if my faster game plan was a little bit better. Because Kinnan usually always kind of has a fast game plan and a slow game plan, and they're both pretty good, to be honest.
Right.
But the fast game plan side of my deck, I was really ignoring and letting stagnate for quite a while. And
well, I mean, famously, I think like one of the things that your list always had was like just no Mirage Mirror whatsoever, right? So like that was definitely
I wasn't running it for ages. Yeah, I cut it. And I mean, in the sense that like, I think most players would probably say if you're going to cut outlets, and the outlets are Mirage Mirror and Thrasios and Treasure Vault, everyone would cut Mirage Mirror first.
Right.
There is that. But I'm not sure it was right to cut it in the first place. I did like the, you know, real overpowering, like double down on big creatures stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think the format is just fast enough that I'm not sure that does as well in a tournament environment. So I've been slowly trying to get resettled in a list that is also capable of a faster game plan, but clearly haven't quite figured it out yet.
That was not too far off from a lot of the decisions I made for Tivit, because I played Tivit over the weekend. And a lot of the decisions that I made in that were, okay, we can go really fast, but also we need to be able to grind the game out. Because something that I think is kind of a misnomer is a lot of people look at Tivit and are like, oh, it's like a card advantage outlet. And I really don't like looking at it that way. I kind of look at that as like the worst case scenario is me cracking clues is not where I ever want to be. And so I kind of I've taken this approach with Tivit recently where Tivit really only comes down when I need to win the game or I need like some like a big ass blocker are the two situations.
I 100% agree with you as someone who also plays like a lot of Tivit. Like there's just I don't know why, but people like don't understand like the real commander of the deck is like whatever little Tivits exist, right? So it's your opposition agent, it's your Rhystic Study, it's your One Ring, right? Like those are the commander of the deck, and then Tivit comes down and it becomes,
finishes the game,
right? Tivit's your finishing move, and it doesn't have to be a quick finishing move, right?
Yeah.
It can be like a 7-turn finishing move, right? But Tivit finishes the game.
Yeah.
Whether it's time sieve, whether it's just absolutely beating face, whether it's going from these card advantage, because like Tivit by itself is an okay card advantage engine, right?
Right. But I don't know that I would say that. I think it's a pretty poor card advantage engine.
I think okay is enough, right? I'm not saying it's a good one. I think okay is perfectly apt description. Right?
At a bare minimum, it says whenever Tivit deals damage, draw a card and create two.
Okay.
And create
that's what I'm saying.
Well, and create two clues.
Two clues.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then and then that's any sort of mana flood, anything like that, like then yields more results for it, right? So like I would describe it as just okay.
Sure.
Right. But what Tivit does is it guarantees that scenario in which you can go from, okay, I have a card advantage engine, i.e. my, you know, Tally and Rhystic Study, One Ring, etc. And then you go, oh, well, I actually have two, and this one's a clock on the table, and this one's providing more resources, and it's adding more mana, right? And then you go, okay, it's adding all of these things now, but it's, once again, that closing aspect of it. It is the transition from slight board control, that mid-range engine, to the actual finishing engine, right?
Yeah. And you mentioned Talion. Talion was one of the cards that I was trying out in the deck that I didn't see at all over the weekend.
It do be like that sometimes.
but I have played games with the deck since, and I have gotten to play Talion multiple times since then. And I because the replacement that I made was I put I replaced Notion Thief with Talion, because Notion Thief, you know, we've talked about this before, you've talked about this, is that Notion Thief is just kind of like not great at the moment. And so my thought was, okay, I still want another advantage engine that kind of punishes my opponents a little bit. Talion fits right there. It's also four mana. It's yep. quite literally the deck is not changing very much other than you just play it at sorcery speed and right. okay.
Yeah. And it doesn't die to Bowmasters.
Right? Yeah, so. It doesn't die to Bowmasters. It's a chonky boy. And then the other thing that I was trying, obviously, was Beseech the Mirror, which felt less like I was testing it. Mm-hmm. And more like I was just playing it because I knew it would be good. Like, it's a very like right. It was generically good for me over the weekend. I believe a minimum of one win off of mm-hmm. Beseech the Mirror to get Thassa's Oracle and then cast Tainted Pact. That was yeah. in my hand. So
because all content creators are time travelers, it is important context to recognize that this tournament came out pre-release day, basically, right. of Wilds of Eldraine, right?
Yeah.
And because of that, the reason we're talking about these cards as if like we're just so fresh on them is literally because they have been legal for about 12 hours by the time this tournament starts, right? So that is sort of the idea of like what Cal's talking about here, right? With like
yeah. testing all of the legacy right? people who were like who broke the card already hadn't got a chance to even play the card at this point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I was very happy with how it performed. And I kind of knew, because we talked about this in our set review, I was kind of confident that it was going to be generically good anyway, because it's kind of like a mono black Bring to Light in some regard. But like, other than that, the big things that I was doing differently than most Tivit decks really was, like a little bit more card advantage engines and a little bit more of just kind of like generic, like, I don't know how to describe Shieldred's my big spice. It's like draw hate, I guess. But
it's also just a clock.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things whenever people ask me about it, they're like, well, what does it really do? And I was like, well, I mean, it pressures life totals, but also it does make Tivit math easier. So like there are some things like that.
Yeah Sheldra just cleans things up a little bit in like a very ultimate way.
I not at the tournament, but with this deck I have won the game by playing a Sheldra and then casting a Windfall mm-hmm. and just murdering my opponents. That has been a real way to win with this deck. Mm-hmm. But obviously it performed really good. I went 3-1-1 overall in Swiss, which was pretty exciting. And then Ian, I played you in the first round, mm-hmm. and you can attest I had a turn one Rhystic into a turn two Sheldred.
It was kind of nuts, and I mulled into an unkeepable pile of cards.
What were in for people who aren't aware, what were you playing that weekend?
Yeah, so I was playing Sisse Weatherlight Captain, the slight variant on the one that I've like I top forward Chaos 3 Treasure series with, and then I also did an entire deck tech on my channel about it. So if you have questions about the nature of that deck, that's a good place to check it out, because I did like a lot of talking about that deck. it's just a solid deck. I sort of went into the tournament expecting it to do the thing where it just kind of sneaks through a lot of stuff and then explodes, and it did that for some of the games I played. I didn't play as many games as I would have liked to have played for a 5-round tournament, and we can get into that later. That's about it. Like it the deck did fine. It's still a deck I really, really enjoy in the format. People are definitely paying more attention to it now that I very loudly told them to pay attention to it. So my bad. But it's also like really solid, and it still catches people off guard, and those who are not familiar with the lines will still struggle to like beat it. But it definitely, I guess it struggles from the need to develop itself, right? Yeah. Like, unless you have a crazy dockside hand, the deck still needs to, like, get an engine online, right? So there are going to be games where your opponents sort of just punk you in the early game, like in our game, basically, right? Where, like, you had an insane start and my other, the other two people who were also playing against you just kind of did
nothing.
The jack all, right? So, like, in that circumstance, like, Sisse's never going to win from behind like that unless I get enough time to, like, steal a game from you, which I didn't have, right? But the deck performed well, as I mentioned. You know, one of the two matches I needed to make top 16. We drew a bunch of matches, and then the top 16 match I got absolutely clowned on by Wounded's nut start. So,
so let's go through kind of the rounds a little bit, because we went into it going kind of, you know, you and I obviously played round one, which was really neat. Tyler, your round one, what were the decks that you played against? Do you remember?
I do. I was in third seat, and in first seat was a Kess Dissident Mage deck. Second seat was Joyra, but it was Suspend Joyra, the old one, which was surprising. and then in fourth seat across from me was, I think it was TNK, almost certain.
Okay.
Definitely Timna, I think TNK. And yeah, it was a weird matchup. I did not expect to see the Joyra.
Yeah. And did you win your first round, or did you lose the first round? I forget which was the
lost the first round. Ooh, okay. I misremembered. That was not my first round. That was my second round that I just described. Okay. Sorry. My first round, I don't really remember the other decks, but the deck to my right was Kinnan. And the Kinnan player before me in turn order was the one that won it with, I think they had Basalt Monolith, Treasure Vault just in hand from the start. So they just kept a fast Basalt hand. And it seemed like, you know, just no one had kept interactive hands. So that was enough.
Yeah. It do be that way sometimes.
Yeah.
I know it kind of reminds me, you talked about like the seating order. And this is one of the things that was wild for me was, literally the only game I did not go first in was our finals match. I went first the entire day. I don't know how, but the die roll, because they, you know, it was, you know, everybody would go, you would roll to see who goes first in every pod. And I literally just went first all event long. And, you know, I ended up losing one in Swiss because of like, and just had a bad hand. But like, it was nuts. I've never gotten to go first that many times in a row. Like, it was absolutely wild.
Sounds great.
Yeah, which is why you know, other tournament organizers having seeded seats that, you know, rotate around and try and re-randomize is kind of nice.
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Overall, I'm a bigger fan of that style. But I also like, it was funny because we were talking to Wounded Satellite about it too, is it doesn't necessarily change the seat variance that much overall, because like, you can still have events where you're still just third and fourth, third and fourth, third and fourth. And sometimes you'll just be going first a lot still, even in that system. So it's just like, the variance of where you are seated is just a little bit more like logical with the other systems of running tournaments. Whereas with this one, it was just by a die roll.
It's also just unnecessary time in the round, right? Like,
yep.
You know, it could be 20 seconds, but it's still there, right?
Yeah.
I'd rather be shuffling up.
I think it's longer than that too, because it like stops people from starting to look at their mulligans, because usually you don't want to look until you know seed order, because it affects at least Gemstone Cavern's hands, but it affects more than that. You know, it affects the game plans you can keep and the ones you can't.
Oh yeah. The difference of keeping a hand with Rog'Zai going first and Rog'Zai going fourth is like way different.
It's right? Like way different. Well, and that was one of the things that we talked about. So in my finals match, I was playing, the turn order was Atraxa, Wounded Satellite on Kinnan. I was playing Tivit going third, and then fourth was another Atraxa deck. And this was one of the things that I, you know, talked about a little bit with you after the event, was I had some good, I can get Tivit out fast hands early in like my first couple seven, but they didn't really do much outside of that. And they didn't do anything to answer what was going on at the table, which I knew I was going to have to do. And so I ended up having to mull down to five, and it was a one lander with a mana vault and a blind obedience and a piece of interaction. And I was like, well, let's hope that's enough. And it was not. But I do know that it stopped Max from winning the turn before the person who won won.
Right.
So it was like, it wasn't necessarily incorrect. It was just like kind of getting like just kind of what it was, if that makes sense. Because if I don't keep that hand, I'm losing regardless, just to a different player.
I mean, in the semifinals, I lost on a hand that was turn one Sese with a blind obedience. So, like, I get it.
Yeah. It's just like, you know what? It is what it is sometimes. My semifinal match, I did fuck all and I still won. I think I cast two spells before I just went Thassa's Oracle, Tainted Pact. And it was just
WinCon good.
Yeah. Fun fact. I mean, and to be fair, there was like a little bit of a fight over there was somebody who earlier in the match was playing Malcolm Timna and had like demonic consultation for an ad nauseum, and the ad nauseum was third from the bottom. So it was like a big go for it play that didn't really pay off. But
interesting.
The turn after they did that, I was like, all right, well, let's see if we have it. So I had Muddle in hand. So we muddled, transmuted Muddle, get Tainted Pact. And then another turn cycle goes around. And then I just present the win and nobody had interaction.
Yeah, maybe people are going to let you win. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You're telling me that the Gruul player didn't have a counterspell for that?
No, the Gruul player did not have a counterspell. So there was a Gruul player. They were playing, I forget what the one part of the background commander was.
It is Street Urchin with Ernest, the Gloomstalker.
Yeah, that's one.
Just literally covered this 40 minutes ago.
There was a lot of discussion in that game about there was a Bowmasters, and there was also that player had played a Sylvan Safekeeper, and there was a lot of discussion about where a Bowmaster's trigger should go. And I mean, that player politicked his ass off to keep the Safekeeper around. And one of the things that I did was like kind of put some pressure on that Safekeeper, and it made him sacrifice, I think, like two lands. And that was one of the things that in that game, one of the players who had the original Bowmasters was like, well, you know, they'll just sack lands and it's not going to do anything. And I'm like, yeah, but you're attacking their mana by doing that.
Right.
So like, it's like, it's there's
every trigger is a strip mine. Like,
yeah, that's, it's like
not bad.
Yeah.
And somehow the Gruul player was able to talk the Malcolm Timna player into using the Bowmaster's triggers on an Archivist of Ogma that the Marnius player had, and I was sitting there and I was just like, I don't really think that's the prescient threat, but you know, I'm not going to over politic in that situation. And I had a Phyrexian Metamorph in hand, so when it got to my turn, I just made a copy of the Bowmasters and shot down the Safekeeper and made them have to fight over it. But that was literally basically what I did in that game was I made a copy of Bowmasters and then I muddled for Tainted Pact.
good interactive magic.
Love yeah, it was a real humdinger of a game. So overall with the event, like, what was y'all's kind of feelings on the event, generally speaking? How it was organized and like the players that were there, like what, like how good was the competition overall, that sort of stuff.
So I mean, they royally screwed the pooch on a few areas, if I'm being honest. There were some, like, a lot of it overall was fine, but like there were some big misses. One of the first ones being that they did not post standings until round four.
Yeah.
So literally one of my round four opponents goes, well, I've actually only won one game and not two, but I don't know what round they misreported it. So I guess I'm just kind of here.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were at SCG Baltimore, that 5K, you will know that this is earlier than they posted standings for that one, which was only after the end of Swiss, which is less helpful.
That was pretty frustrating.
At the same time, because it was after round four, because there's only four at Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah, standings should be available. It impacts relevant decisions.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
My biggest issue with the SCG Con and that 5K and how they ran things was specifically their point system was fucking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It made absolutely no sense. You ranked players in how they died to.
No, that was in Baltimore too.
Decide like who died in what order to like determine ties, and
So that is their overarching tiebreaker as compared to opponent match win percentage, right? So the idea is that like, oh, okay, so I am playing Tivit. Oh, this is a great example. Cal did this.
Yeah,
Cal is playing Tivit. Tivit is a deterministic combo in which they will take infinite turns and eliminate players one by one through manual combat damage, right? So it's not like anyone was technically eliminated at a different time, right? But because it is technically a, I take a turn, I kill a person, I take a turn, I kill a person, I take a turn, I kill a person, right? although I did hear afterwards that technically they were declaring loops that ended through the same game
action. But see, this is why it's a bad system.
This is why it's a problem, right? Yeah, like the fact that we're having nuanced discussion.
We shouldn't have to have this conversation. Yeah. It should just be opponent's win percentage and move the fuck. This is the thing I've been yelling about for years, ever since I've rant. I have a lot of feelings about this because I've been running in-person events. I guess I haven't in like 2 years, but I've run in-person events at my LGS and figured all of this shit out. I can like Phoenix and I have done all of this work. And so when I saw people, especially people like SCG, just like redoing all the same like issues,
blunders.
It's just like, hey, we have these answers, they are available, you can go find them, and they just are working from square one on their own, and it's absolutely unnecessary. Because okay, if you don't want to use command tower, sure, I get that. But you don't need to reinvent the pairings wheel. It's not. Listen, there's nothing novel about like command towers, like formula or whatever. It's a pretty normal pairing system.
It's just clean.
Yeah, it's just very clean at what it does. this is what I've been saying this since like 2018. You don't need to reinvent the wheel for EDH for tournaments. Just do what you have done for tournaments for since the beginning of Magic, and just make it four player pods and stuff too. It's not hard.
Yeah. Here's what I found really interesting about this whole thing, right? So what the big thing that ended up making a giant splash in the last round of Swiss was that players were not. So, for example, you get 1 point for a draw, 5 points for a win, right? Players were not paired by their point totals at the end of the Swiss. They were paired by their wins, right? Which sounds like kind of pedantic if you don't analyze it, right? But then if you start to think about it, you had some people who had two wins and two draws, right? Who were locked for top 16, playing against people who had two wins and two losses, who were
one win and three losses.
Or, for example, with Max, once again, the second place player and yourself, right, who were in third place going into that round, playing against so two locked players, or I guess you were forced into a win and end, right?
Yeah.
But Max, who was already locked into top 16, was forced to play against people who were on the bubble, people who literally could not even qualify for top 16. And so it would create these scenarios where some people were forced to play that didn't need to play and things like that. And so
if you were at the tournament, you got to see Kyle Justice make an appearance.
Kyle Justice popped off a little bit.
Listen, again, I wasn't trying to, but I was just this is fucking stupid.
To clarify, right? This is actually, I did not mind this system because it discouraged IDs. I think there is a serious conversation if you go 2-0 to start the tournament to go, I'm going to draw my next three rounds and lock myself into top 16. Because 2-0-3, 90% of the time in a tournament of that size, especially like 100 and something people, right? When you start to hit like the 200 amount, right? That becomes a lot less guaranteed, right? But two wins and three draws is 100% going to like lock you into a lot of top 16s for X amount of time, right? So by using the system that they did, right, which once again said the 2-0-2s can still play the 2-2s, right, and be forced to play Magic, which is like kind of the thing we're all fucking there for, right? I don't mind that system, right? I don't mind this idea that like you're forced to play the win and ends over and over again, because that creates an entertaining system. It creates entertaining Magic, and it creates scenarios where people aren't like, cool, I had a hot streak and I got the lazy the rest of the day. That sucks. That sucks so bad, right? So Star City had this system, which I don't know if it was meant to fix the ID system or if it was just the way they were doing it. But I think it's actually good for the health of the format overall and for the tournament scene. But the problem was, and this is where we run into the issue of this, was that they didn't tell people that's how they were doing it. So then a bunch of us idiots
were
all ID'd
on
round four, expecting to go play against people we had the same amount of points with in round five
and then
ID
again
into the top 16. Yep. Right. So instead, a bunch of people ID'd a round they didn't have to ID. They drew a match that they did not have to draw. And they got put in scenarios where they were still playing a win in, therefore completely invalidating their fourth round and creating a scenario where every single one of us went, okay, well, I should have just played round four and had a chance to win. So instead of two chances to winning, I now am in a scenario where I could low roll, end up in a scenario and lose out of top 16 when it should have been a guarantee. So once again, fine with the system. I actually think it's probably good for the health of the format overall if you don't want draw locks, because that's going to keep happening, right? Like, I, as a player, I want to guarantee my top 16
The only
slot,
difference,
right?
The only change I would make to that system is, one, tell people. Two, also, like, the whole tiebreakers based on who was eliminated?
I'm not even talking about that shit. Yeah. I'm talking about like literally the you will be paired up with people who have the same amount of wins.
Yeah,
as you.
I agree
that
with
is
you.
Actually,
I think
a good system.
I agree with you because that's one of the things where I very much to your point. It does incentivize people to continue to play. And the one thing I will say is I like that system more in an event space where you are covering the tournament, so it is being broadcast to people. So from a viewership perspective, it is much more fun to consume. It's also fun to play, but I think it is even better as a like entertainment, like sure. piece.
The amount of times I've been like, oh, they want you for coverage match, and I'm like, sorry, we're just drawing this round. Stuff like that happened. Or like even at Cookout, they made people play a round that didn't count for coverage.
Excuse me, what?
Right. So like, yeah, because they just ID'd and they were like, okay, cool, we're not going to play this round.
But what if?
But they were like,
I probably would have complained about that.
Why not find a win in? I agree. Why not find a win in? It's a whole different thing, right?
I would have complained about that because I would have been like, but I want to go eat. Right. Yeah. Like it's
for sure.
Like that was also
a festival. They tried to make us play and I was like, no, I'm going to take my break. Thank you very much.
Well, and that was part of why I was so frustrated in that round five, because I was expecting it to be like every other tournament I've ever been to. I am going to be up here. I'll just draw. I'll go get some chicken fingers and I'll be nice and fed for finals. And I was not. So not only was I unaware of the system that was going on, I was also hungry on top of that. Literally all I had eaten up until that point was a Pop-Tart. So I in some like zebra cakes early in the morning. So I was like running on nothing. And so I just Cal Justice made an appearance. Seth was the head judge. Thank you for being patient with me. I apologize. I listen, it's not just here. It does happen in real life where sometimes I just kind of lose my mind.
Also, I will say that the specific iteration of like play the people you have win matching with, I think it's not as necessary of a conversation when you talk about 7-8 round tournaments, right? Or even six, right? But I'm talking about if you're going to play one day, you're only going to do 4 or 5 rounds. Like, why draw lock people? That sucks so bad. It does. And it's just like, you know, get 2 wins early and then not play Magic for 3 rounds worth of thing is just like, why would you ever want to encourage that behavior?
Yeah.
Ever.
The other thing. Oh, go ahead, Tyler.
I was going to say, since you guys beat the shit out of that one, I think we can probably talk about the round time because that's an.
Yeah, that was literally what I was about to bring up.
Easy one that jumps out. So we've seen a lot of different approaches to this, and I think Eminence has been dialing in a couple different options, but I feel like
Star City picked the worst one.
Yeah, I think Star City gave us the literal worst one.
I think the consensus is that round zero, no additional turns is the way to go, because an entire round of additional turns, one for each player, is so long. It can be so long because you can take so many game actions in a CDH turn. And they chose not to do that. They chose to do 75-minute rounds
X minus one turn, right? So
So active player finishes their turn, and then each other player that remains gets a turn after that. And that made it very difficult to predict when the rounds were going to end, which in turn meant that people really couldn't go and like just go get food, you know, because they didn't really know when the next round was going to start, because the next round starting was completely contingent on on the last one.
Right. It was a completely non-digital setup too, right? So it's not like we could like walk away and have it on our phones, right? Like we had the hope that we had a friend who was staying in the space and not eating too, you know.
The thing about it that is wild to me is this is one of the things, and I'm gonna get on a soapbox here, so here let's this is why we need. I did not mean to turn my game all the way. Is this okay?
This is. I can hear
that.
I can
way hear too much.
Way too high. Way too high.
Wrong way. Wrong way. Okay. And cut. This is why we need a multiplayer IPG and MTR from Wizards and from Judge Academy. Listen, people, and this is going to be, been saying this for literal years. I'm going to continue to say it because now it's the most prescient than it's ever been, is there should not be these inconsistencies between events, right? What other format in Magic do you have this amount of inconsistency between the amount or what events you are going to? It's not in Modern, it's not in Legacy, it's not in Standard, it's not in Pioneer, it's not in Vintage, not in any other formats. It's literally just in multiplayer. We have fucking rules. We have fucking rules for two-headed giant. two-headed giant, but we can't get MTR rules for the game's most popular format. That is fucking insane. And to me, it is incredibly more frustrating given the fact that there was, they literally just updated and released an update to the MTR and IPG today, as we're recording this on Wednesday, September 6th. And it is incredibly frustrating to me because it is quite literally like a, well, we don't want to deal with the issue is literally what it is. And the community has been putting up, what'd you say?
I was just going to say for the listeners / viewers at home who, like me, are mostly in here for the sports talk and may not know. Do you want to say what an IPG and an MTR are?
Yes. So the MTR is the Magic Tournament Rules, and the IPG is the Infraction Procedure Guide. And both of those is how you determine penalties in a game of competitive magic. And is also how, like, so you know how every modern or pioneer or insert 1v1 game of Magic you've ever gone to has X amount of rounds depending on how many people are there, and is this number of minutes, you get 15 minutes in the round, and here's how turns work. That is because of the MTR. And you know how when you look at a card and, oh, I wasn't supposed to see that card, judge, and you get a warning for that? That's because of the IPG. We do not have a system like that for Commander, multiplayer. Yeah. We are literally winging it. And it does two things. Three things, really. One, it puts TOs in a horrible position because what it does is it means TOs have to figure all this shit out on their own. Which is completely unreasonable because they don't have to do that for any other format. So they're disincentivized to run these events because of that, because they have to put in extra legwork that they don't have to do for these other ones. Right. Two, it's a disservice to your judges because those judges now are put in terrible positions where your rulings actually can't be backed up because you have, like, for there are weird niche things that happen in Commander that don't happen in other formats that are hard to issue infractions for. And so, like, there it's literally like simple things like card errors, things like that are real easy. But when it comes to like things that maybe in another format you would get a game loss, that's a lot more impactful in this. And now a judge has to determine, how do I issue an impactful warning that isn't also going to completely take this,
the game?
So there is,
and that. Also, like, even things like what's been coming up a lot lately, which is like revealing hidden information, right? Like, there's been like a lot of dialogue around like, oh, I have a card in my hand, can I show Tyler, but can I not show Cal, right? Like, that is something that is just not defined within the rules of Magic, because for some fucking reason they're like, hey, Commander is our most popular format, but let's not make any rules for it on a tournament level, even though we're pushing the power level of the format
to encourage you to play every tournament.
Yeah. And it's just like, what do you do?
It's fucking insane is what it is. And to finish my point, it is thirdly a disservice to the players, because now the players are put in these weird scenarios where SCG's events are weird and completely different from Eminence's, and Eminence's are weird and different from Monarchs, and theirs are different from the other two. So there is no consistency. So when you go to a CEDH event, unless it is, you are only going to ones from a specific TO, you have no fucking idea what you're getting. And even then, you have people like Eminence who are trying things out and testing different things at events. So even then, your play experience is different and varied based on the event you're attending. That is unreasonable and should not be the standard.
I will also say right here and right now, I'm going to pitch my perfect one, because I didn't want to leave this conversation without pitching what I think is the perfect way to do this. Okay. So round zero, as soon as you hit turns, game should end. I think we all can agree on that, right? No extra turns. Extra turns suck. I think the way that I've heard it most efficiently explained is, rounds either being 80 or 85 minutes. I think that difference is rather pedantic. I think 75 is too short.
Yep.
I think 85 is my preference.
Yep, same.
Even though I have yet, think I've had one game go to time period in like a long time.
Right? I actually prefer 100 minutes, but I understand why people don't.
You're the other extreme, yeah. Though. Sure. But I think 85 minutes, then you hit turns, right? And by turns, I mean you are in turn zero. And here's where you can reduce the variance of the format as far as time length on turn zero by exponential amounts. What you do is you say, okay, at turn zero, as soon as we hit time in the round, so as soon as we hit that 85 minutes, you have 10 minutes to conclude that turn. If you do not conclude that turn within 10 minutes, it is a draw. I don't care what's on the stack. I don't care what's being presented. The game is done. It is not like this is not an unprecedented thing. It happens in dozens of other TCGs at the competitive level.
It's also just like think about sports, right? Like, not to bring sports back into it, but like we are kind of comparing it to other competitive things.
Yeah. I mean, it's a high competitive
basketball
thing, yeah.
I mean, basketball is a little bit different, but like football in the regular season, right? The NFL, guess what? When you hit overtime at the end of that 10 minutes, the game is over. And that is the standard. Yeah. In like, think about like football, right? Like soccer, like when, extended period time or whatever stoppage time is added, when that clock runs out, the game is over. And if it's tied, it's tied. And if it's not, it's not. And that is it. The only time there is not that scenario is literally when you're in playoffs, which we already don't do turns for playoffs. So right, it's like,
exactly.
It is insane that we have this idea that it's like, oh, well, no, we got to clean up the stack. It's like, no, we absolutely can just end
the game
at a time.
Yeah. So in that scenario, right, and the one that I just pitched, 95 minutes is the max a game can take, period. So your players know if it's 10 minutes past when the round timer ended, okay, unless players have an insane judge extension, the game should be over. I should be in the space by now after 95 minutes, right? There's no ambiguity to that. There's
that's
like
fucking 2 hours. That is 2 hours.
What do you mean?
It's almost 2 hours in like IRL time, right? Or I guess it's an hour and a half of IRL time.
It's an hour 35. Yeah.
So it's an hour. I did bad math there. but like you were talking about 100 minutes effectively, because by the time you get started with the next round, looking at 100 minutes. That gives time for people to go eat, to go do things, to be able to feed themselves, to hydrate themselves. Mm-hmm. Like that is a big concern at these long ass events. And you are not giving people that ability to do those things at these events as it stands.
Yeah. I think the 85-10 method is like,
I think
is the answer. And it's just like, it's frustrating hearing TOs complain about like, and maybe this is me spending too much time talking to Mikey, but like he'll complain about times going over. Turn zero is taking 30 minutes because of Clark turns. And I'm like, just end it at 10 minutes. Be done with it. No, game over. GG's, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, sorry, Storm players. You had 90 minutes to figure this shit out. You shouldn't be doing it. Turn zero. Right.
I fully agree with that. And, you know, I keep saying this, but we don't need to reinvent the wheel. I said this with the MLC, right? They were like, oh, why did that league structure work? Well, because I just literally was like, oh, hey, you know what has been doing this thing for like 100 years and has not had issues? I'm just going to take the NFL. I'm just going to do that. And like there were scheduling issues that we ran into, but that's more of a we aren't getting paid professionally to do this, right? So it's like when you really break it down, the whole idea of like, oh, we got to figure it out. We got to do it all this way, blah, blah, blah. We're reinventing the wheel. The method is right there. We have the answer. We just keep trying to do it differently. It's the same things over and over. People trying to, oh, my idea is better. No, it's not. Just do it the way that's been working for hundreds of years, for fuck's sake. Like
Cal said, fuck your idea. It's not working. Get out.
Cal was wrong about sports too. I don't know if you caught that.
What was I wrong about sports? About
not all soccer matches can end in a draw. If they can't end in a draw, they go to penalty kickouts. The match doesn't just end when the timer runs out on the stoppage
time. Well, that depends on if it's regular season or depending on the
match. I know more about sports than you do.
It does depend on the match, though, because there are some matches where, like, in the regular season or on a certain part of the season, that it just ends in a draw because there's a lot of soccer matches that just ends in draws. And then
I don't know about you, Ian, but I heard them say it ends in a draw, period. But I think they're also editing this, so probably not going to go my way anyway.
I think you could use the example of like hockey as like the other comparison, but I don't know. I don't know that I'm using hockey as my basis for fucking anything. It's like literally out there.
Listen, punchy ice golf is great at doing exactly what it's
supposed to. Punchy ice, like fucking what's it called? Hockey, I guess.
You look broken. What happened?
Cal, did you just have a moment in your head where you were like, it's like field hockey but on ice, and then re-arrived that it's just hockey?
I thought I
spotted that.
That was exactly what happened.
I love you,
my brain would be like, oh, it's exactly like field hockey. Just talking about, which is a variation of hockey.
Hell yeah.
Crushed it. Killed it.
I'm good at mouth words. I've gotten my rant out. It's not a rant that I'm sure it might be the first time I've actually gone on that rant.
Said rant singular is very funny.
Well, okay, so a couple of those rants might have been the first time that I've actually made those rants on this channel, though, because if you know me IRL, you have heard those rants before. Those are not new Cal takes. But I don't know that all of those have been on the channel before. So for some viewers, those might be new Cal hot takes. Just know that those Cal hot takes have been in existence for like years.
Tyler and I, who had to hear them all weekend.
Like, I was going to say, Ian and I heard them over the weekend.
Over and over and over.
These exact same words.
I only know how to talk about so many things. As evidenced by the fact that I continually talk about sports and use sports metaphors and survivor metaphors and all of those things, because everything is
also,
I only have so many things.
Yeah. I feel like it's really important that we've established, like, in the Mind Sculptor's lore, that like we've canonically discovered that tier lists are the horniest thing we can talk about. Correct. As far as magic is concerned, right? As far as like what the audience is just like full popping a boner for, right? Tier lists, and people are just so horny for.
Have
tier
you
lists.
Not watched that episode where Ian literally like starts the episode out where he's like, "I know you're going to see this thumbnail and see the word tier list and get real horny for it."
And, I don't think so, but now I'm gonna.
yeah. So anyway, the average audience is super horny for tier lists, and I feel like we've also now established the polar opposite. What is sort of the driest topic and least horny of all the topics, which is the multiplayer infraction procedure guide. I feel like that is the most quick to unhorny our audience. So
I'm going to look at our I'm going to see the stats for this video, and it's just like us start talking about the IPG and MTRs. All the viewers just go.
Okay, so here's what you can do, right? And I'll give you this for later, right? I'm just going to, Tyler, actually, if you want to join in, that'd be great. We'll just whisper the word tier list kind of sensually into the microphone over and over again. And that way
we can flash this in at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Tier list. Yeah. Tier list. Ooh. Tier list. And that way, when you're going through it, you can take a couple of those audio clips and then like sort of just shove them right into the.
Hell, did you just shriek and almost fall out of your chair?
No, my chair just broke. Yeah, this is
the chair.
This
really has strong opinions about infraction procedures.
I was gonna say, I thought we just got you that horny.
No, I'm like baseline that level horny all the time. Are you kidding me? You guys are fucking out with me. So I think that's a great place to just kind of
call it.
Yeah, sort of to quantify how horny you are on a consistent basis. Yeah, really good place to end it.
But thank you guys, everybody who joined us to watch this episode. Overall, SCG, I'm glad you guys are in the space and I'm glad you guys are doing this. I think that the more competition comes into the space, the better it's going to be overall for the consumer, which is me, and only me. But for real, I'm overall, I thought SCG Con as an event was very good. I think there's things about the 5K that I would do differently that can make it better. But I think, like conceptually speaking, like I think we're in a decent spot. It just needs stuff to be fixed, and I think a lot of that will come with time. The more they do this, like obviously people who are at Baltimore were like, yeah, this is already better than Baltimore. And so it's like, it's frustrating to some of us who have been to other CEDH events. So you're just kind of like, hey, we already figured this shit out. So it's kind of frustrating to like, kind of like go to those events and feel like you're starting over almost. Mm-hmm. But overall I enjoyed going. I like the regional events that I can make it to like that. It is a lot harder for me to be able to go to like Philadelphia frequently or Atlanta or like Chicago is easier. It's like 3 hours, but like the longer you make that trip, the more you put those things on the coast, the more you are kind of alienating a lot of your audience because you're just kind of pushing it to your two coastal regions. And so it's very exciting to me that we've got events coming up in like St. Louis and we've got events coming up like in more of these Midwestern areas, because those are the events that I think people are going to realize that Midwest Magic players are a fucking crew and they travel all across the Midwest to go to those things. So
I was delighted to meet some Midwest Magic players this weekend. I will say, maybe don't pick St. Louis next time. The murder capital of the U.S. is not necessarily where I'm trying to be, but love it. And SCG Ohio was Columbus was awesome. And I want to also definitely give credit to SCG that whereas after Baltimore, I think they were kind of collecting feedback on paper. It seemed like they actively had people who are CEDH players who cared from within SCG who were soliciting feedback and trying to figure out what they could do differently. So I think the appetite to improve is definitely there, which really is kind of the most important thing that can go right, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know? So I want to give them that credit for sure.
Like the best thing they did was staff CEDH players on their tournament judge staff. That immediately is like, okay, you're already doing good. Cause you got people who are familiar with the shit. Because when you get people who have no idea what the fuck is going on trying to judge these events, it is a train wreck. With that being said, Tyler, your play to win stuff, where can people find you as far as what events you'll be going to coming up?
Oh, you're that Tyler? That makes sense.
Oh, God. So I mostly play for Play to Win. That's playtowinmtd.com for merch and Play to Win on YouTube. You can also find me on Twitter at tbuck3 and on Moxfield and Discord at Ransby. I will be soon going to Commander Sealed in 2 weeks, which I am very excited about. I love Limited. I love Commander Sealed. I love the causes that they're working on. And I love that they have a tattoo artist there. So I am really hyped for that. That'll probably be coming up maybe somewhere around when this video is releasing. So. We'll see. But looking forward to that. Looking forward to LotusCon, hoping to also make it to Atlanta in November for the Charlie's Cards CCCC. I don't know. BCCC. Is that what you do?
The AK is really what matters.
CCS.
The AK. Hoping to make it for that as well. There's a lot of cool stuff on the horizon.
Yeah. I would like to point out that Tyler is now a frequent enough flyer on this podcast that like he is starting to encroach on Sculpty Boy territory. Like he is starting to do we hand out the bandana? You know, because we need another Sculpty Boy for sure.
Yeah, that's our problem, is we have so many Sculpty Boys. Yeah.
Ian, as far as where people can support you, what events you're going to be at, what's going on?
Oh, hey, everyone. My name is Ian, and I am the co-host of this, but also I have my own YouTube channel, Comedian MTG.
Wait, you're that, Ian?
No. I've been lying this whole time. Shit, don't call me out like that.
Shit. You caught me.
All right. yeah, you can find me over at youtube.com/comedianmtg or Twitter under the same handle. That's the other place to really hear about tournament EDH. And if you want to hear the top 16 breakdown, breaking down every single deck that made the semifinals and finals of the tournament we were talking about today, that will be releasing as of, I guess technically it will have been released by the time you hear this, but come over,
because this is recorded here. in the past.
I need to make sure I get the travelers. Yeah.
And Ian, just so I know, where on the horny scale is the top 16 breakdown?
Ooh, okay. So on this channel, it's I would say like around like a 70% horny. But on my own channel, because it's just me doing it, and it's my main source of sort of content on that. I'm not gonna lie. I'm way more irreverent on this channel than I am on my own channel, despite the name difference.
That's what I was gonna say. Is I was like, we talked about this over the weekend, where your channel has the it's funny name, but your content is super serious. And then us, we have the like persona and the like reputation of being super serious and like blah. But like we're more like we joke around and are more funny.
We're deep in the chuckle fuck for sure. Yeah.
Like it's we got our naming conventions messed up, I think.
Mine is a reference to me as an individual, but I'm aware that branding wise it was not my best decision.
I have referenced you as the totally serious Ian MTG is my favorite way to reference you. That's what I think you should make your Twitter name is totally serious Ian MTG.
No, but see, I'm also more irreverent on Twitter. So
I don't know that that's entirely true.
I would check my pinned tweets before you say that.
Oh, no. I'll do that after.
Before we stop talking about me, which is the worst time of the day. also, if you're interested in being coached in CEDH, you should check me out on comedianmtg@gmail.com. Hit me up on Twitter or Discord, any of those places. And that's kind of what I do for a job, so it's pretty okay.
Yeah, he definitely didn't help me test anything out. The night before, my top four, where we were literally sitting there just going, "What are the cards? What are the cards? What are the cards?" So, as far as me, you can obviously, support the sole proprietorship by, subscribing to it on Patreon. So, you know, our tax status,
speaking of things on the unhorny part of the scale,
tax brackets. Can't wait to advertise this because we talk about fucking rules, procedures, tournament setups, and tax brackets. It's great. Nice. It's a real sexy episode.
An SCG for 40 minutes, and also we talk about taxes. This week on the Mind Sculptors,
the hot DNF content.
Also, like I said, just support us on the Patreon is a big thing. Eventually, when Ian is not traveling literally every single week, we will sit down and rework our Patreon for you so that you have some better rewards. But currently, it is going to be what it is because that's what we have the time for. overall, I really
and you know, we can have a whole section of the Patreon where after the episode you hear Cal and I rate how horny that episode was, and I know that's the content you're really here for, so if you want that, we can we'll make a tier.
The funny thing is I actually think I can already imagine, I feel like there are going to be like the four or five people who are super hardcore that make it to this part of the episode and are going to comment, we want that. and I'm very
and okay for you four.
But overall, really appreciate it. It was great getting to meet people in Columbus. And it was also great to be in Columbus, to be in my hometown, and to get to top four my first tournament ever, and also top 16 my first tournament ever.
Oh, also the great paradox almost happened where you almost came in physical contact with the other Callahan and therefore created a rift in hole and space and time.
True.
But luckily I managed to walk in between you two at that moment.
Yeah.
And therefore
you split the atoms that are the cows. It is funny though, in the tweet you made congratulating me on my top four, you did tag Callahan, but not me, which is beautiful that you did that. I literally, you're sitting next to me in a Roosters making this tweet, and I see the tweet, but I haven't gotten a notification because I wasn't tagged in it. Other Cal was tagged in it though.
Oopsies.
So the meme continues. But yes, it's beautiful, but I also did appreciate it. But with that being said, we really that's all we got for you this week. How do we want to outro this? Do you guys want to do like I don't know what we should do for an outro. We did,
I feel like let's rely on Tyler. Tyler's got
Tyler, you're a guest.
Let's all make our best metaphor for what hockey is like.
Oh, okay. Cool. It's like field hockey.
But on ice.
Yeah.
With knives on your feet. So hardcore. But I guess you play most of other sports with forks on your feet anyway. Like, isn't this what cleats are, basically?
Yeah, but they're like big. They're like they're plastic and they're like this wide.
Why are sports people so like obsessed with utensils, do you think?
Why are cleats reversed Crocs? You know what I mean?
Oh, they are like inverse Crocs.
Inverse Crocs?
Yeah, if you've got the exact right pair of cleats, Crocs. You take
the rubber from what the Croc holes are taken out, see, and you just put them at the bottom of the shoe, and that's where the cleat is.
The difference here is you don't have the rubber sticking out of the top of the cleat, though.
Steve!
This has been the Mind Sculptors. I'm Cal.
I'm Ian. Hockey is like a box of chocolates. I'm definitely allergic to them and would shit for an hour if I had some. See you later.
That I'm trying to keep, yeah. All these memories bittersweet, yeah. Gotta move, can't stay here no more. 여기 계속 있다가 남아서 내가 돼. 'Cause we can't keep making these rain clouds stay overhead. Don't wanna keep this going. Can't fix what's already broken. 생각을 돌이켜봐도 혼자 돼.